Okay, we're starting on the top of Ayin Heim and Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara says, "Entzolina to Pesach." So at the end of the Mishnah, we have a story with Rabbi Gamliel who says that he did use an askala, he did use a grill. The Gemara wants to know, "Maseli store." The Mishnah says you're not allowed to use metallic objects, you're not allowed to use a metal spit, you're not allowed to use a grill. And all of a sudden you have a maseh with Rabbi Gamliel where he's using a grill. The Gemara says, "Chasure mechsera." The Mishnah is missing some key words here. "V'achiktani vim askala mindukevet." If it's a grill that has holes in it, mutar, then it's permissible. He said to his Eved Kanani Tavi, who was well versed in halacha, was known to be a righteous Eved, go and roast the Pesach for us on this open grill. As Rashi explains over here, this open grill, what we had said until now is that when they roasted the Korban Pesach, they did it vertically. They put the spit in vertically into the fire, and then it was cooked in that manner, with the mouth facing down. What it seems like from Rashi is that this askala minukevet is a large metal frame on which you can rest the spit horizontally. And you could roast the Korban Pesach more like we would think about a spit on the fire, which is that it's turning on a horizontal basis, not on the vertical basis. So that's what it sounds like this askala is, according to Rashi, that there's a big gap, ben briach the briach, between the different squares of the grill, and then you put the shibud rachbo across the width of the grill, you put the shibud, and that's how you roast it. So it seems to be it was a horizontal roasting rather than that vertical roasting, but again, the Korban Pesach is not touching the metal, which is the key aspect here, so it's not cooked by the heat of the metal, but rather by the heat of the fire. Tanur shesiko beklipe orla. It fired up the oven with klipe orla, with the skins or the shells of orla, which were asurim behana'a, vigarafo, and then he swept them out, vafabo et apat, and then he bakes the bread in there. The divrei oser mahu. According to the one who says it's problematic, I mean, we had this earlier in the Masechta with regards to Machloket Rabbi and the Chachamim of Zeb Zeh Goreim, whether that was Mutar or Asur. Rabbi, who's of the belief that this is still a problem over here when you fire it up with the Klipe Orla, what's the din over here? Amalei Apat Muteret. The pot is fine. Amalei V'hama Rav Chinin Asaba Rav Asi Rav Yochanan. Tanur Sheisiko. A tanur that was fired up. Vigarofo. And then he swept it out. Bitzala bo et pesach, and then he roasted the pesach in there. Ein ze tzliyesh. That's not considered to be tzliyesh. Shneamar, because the pasuk says tzliyesh, tzliyesh, shtei pe'amim. So there is a double tzliyesh. So that means only with fire, not with other things. Taimo de goli rachmana tzliyesh tzliyesh. It's only because the Torah specifies that you must use tzliyesh twice, shtei pe'amim, that it works. Ha lo goli rachmana. Had the Torah not said this, Havamin, I would have thought that Tzliyeshu, that it is considered to be a fire or roasted. So the problem that we're faced with here is that in the first instance, we said that when you fire it up with Isurei Hana'a, according to Rabbi, that's a problem because now you have a fire that's a derivative of Isurei Hana'a, and if you bake the bread in that type of fire, problematic. Then he says that if you sweep it out, the bread is totally mutar, because the assumption is that the fire is gone. There's no longer the fire here. The Isurei Hana'a are gone. What you have left is the heat. Heat, both which is an intangible item, as well as the oven is what's giving you the heat. So that's fine in terms of the bread. Yeah, when it comes to the Korban HaPesach, where you heat it up or fired up the oven, and then you swept it out and put the Korban HaPesach to roast in there, we say over there it's pasul or it's no good, only because the pasuk says tzliyesh twice. Had it not said tzliyesh twice, we would assume that that's considered to be roasting. Roasting on a fire, because the fire is what heated the oven that's there. So, if that's the case, we have a stira between these two statements. One statement we're saying it's not esh, it's not the fire, that's why the bread is mutar. On the other hand, we're saying it is esh, and that's why I need a second pasuk to tell me that it's not considered esh, but tzliyesh, that tzliyesh gotta literally be on the fire. The Torah over there gives you the paradigm, and that sets up a binyan av, so that once we know that that's the definition of tzliyesh, then we can apply it everywhere else. So what the Torah here is doing for us is explaining to us or giving us the definition of Tzliyesh. Once we have the definition of Tzliyesh, then we can apply it more broadly. So yes, there's a Havamina and a Maskana, but the Maskana is not just a Maskana from here, it's a Maskana L'chola Turakula. That's one possible answer. Over there, it's because the Torah wrote Tzliyesh twice. Halo katav rachmanat tzliyesh tepamim avemina aish kapin rachmana. I would think that the Torah is makbin on aish, but filu garafo nami tzliyeshu, and it's still considered to be tzliyesh even after you sweep it out. Avala hocha, in our case by the orla, it seemed the suraka kapin rachmana. What we're makbin about, what we're worried about, is the surayana vahalednehu, and they're not there. Meaning that the focus in each case is very different. The focus by the Korban of Pesach is on the fire, because that's what roasts. So the fire is what matters. So I would have thought, even when you sweep it out, it's the fire that generated the heat here, and that's enough to have it be considered to be roasted. That's why the Torah has to say Tzliyesh twice, to tell me, no, literally the fire has to be there. It can't just be the derivative of that flame. It has to be the flame itself that is there. By the case of Klipei Orla, the major issue is the Isurei Hana. So I would have thought, when the Isurei Hana are there, that's problematic. You remove the Isurei Hana, that is mutar. And that's why over there, the din is different than it would be by the Korban of Pesach. What is interesting in Rashi here is that Eish Kapid Rachmana. Rashi says that the Torah is Makpid on Eish, and that's why it would be enough to heat up the oven and use it. Rashi says, V'choma Tanur Toldat Eishu. The heat of the Tanur is a derivative of fire, which is the way we would look at it in Shabbat. It's Toldat Eish. Then he says, V'im Titein Bo Beged, if you put in a piece of clothing into the oven, Nisraf, it burns up, and Asip Pecham, comes a coal, v'esh, and fire. Rashi adds that last piece there, which I would have said is not necessary. If you tell me something's toldat esh means it's derivative of the fire. The fire heated the object, and now the object is giving off heat. Rashi says that not only is it derivative of the esh, which gives off fire, that in itself, the toldat esh can generate the esh. And that's why it's considered to be toldat esh. So Rashi adds in that additional item that it's not enough that it's a derivative of the heat of the fire. It has to be that it itself, as a derivative, can generate the ish. And that's why it's considered to be ish. Tanra banan. Chatko v'natno agabe gechalim. If he cuts up the Korban of Pesach, Rabbi Omer ani, Rabbi says, I say, shezet tzliyesh. That's still considered to be tzliyesh. So you have two things that happen here. Number one is chatko, that he cut it. And number two is that he put it on top of coals. So Rabbi says both of those are not problematic, and it's considered to be tzliyesh. As Rashi says over here, what does it mean, chatacho? Chatacho doesn't mean that he quartered it, doesn't mean that he took it apart, but simply that he scored it. He opened it up, he cut it open in a number of places so that it would cook better, the way that you do with a hot dog, you would slice it, in order that it cooks better on the inside. So too over here, he did the same thing with regards to the Korban HaPesach. That's the way Rashi reads it. There's a Tosafot back on Ayin Dalet Amun Aleph, Nechtach Mimenu Evrim in Zemekulas. The end of that Tosafot over there, we mentioned this yesterday, says that Gedi Mikulas, roasting the Korban HaPesach as one, is just a mitzvah lechatchila. But Bidiyavad, if you roast it, even in pieces, it's fine. One of his proofs is from our Gemara. Chatacho, and place it on the Gichalim. So Tosafot reads it, he says Rashi doesn't read it that way, but I read it as chatachol means literally that it was cut up, that it was quartered. You can actually cut the Pesach into pieces and then roast it. And that's one of Tosafot's proofs. So Tosafot reads over here, chatachol means he cut it into pieces and then put it on the coals. Rashi says that he's just scoring it, he's opening it up to allow it to cook better on the inside. So that's one din. The second din is nando agabi gechalim. That placing on the coals is sufficient to be considered roasted. As opposed to saying that it has to be on a flame or a fire, here, Rabbi suggests that coals is enough to be considered tzliyesh. So, Rami le Rav Chodvai bar Ami le Rav Chisto. So, he proposed a problem to Rabbi's position, which is, Mi amar Rabbi Gechalim eshninhu. Can Rabbi really believe that Gechalim coals are the equivalent of fire? Beraminu, it says in the Midrash Halacha, Michvat Esh. Now, Michvat Esh, some of the items mentioned in the Parshiot of Tzarat, there you have Michva and you have Shchin. Two types of tzarat that are identical in their dinim, but are separated by the Torah to tell you that they're not mitzdareif. You can't put the two of them together. Michva, or michvat eish, is a tzarat that comes from a wound that was generated by chuma or, from the heat of fire. Shchin is a wound that ends up being tzarat that is generated by something that is not fire, or some other object that creates the wound that is not heated by fire. So now this michvat esh, in the elish nichva beish, only that he got singed or he got burnt by fire. Nichva begachelet, what happens if he got burnt by a coal? Beremetz, hot ashes or embers. Besiroteach, hot plaster, hot lime. Big gefasis roteach, hot gypsum. Chodavar ba min or anything that is heated by the fire. The etuei chamei or to include hot springs, hot water. Minayin, how do I know that all of these items are included under the category of michva? Talmud Omer, michva, michva, riba. So it says michva two times to include all of these items in addition. So time of the Rabbi Rachmana michva, michva. It's only because the pasuk says michva, michva, do we include all these additional items. Hallo Rabbi Rachmana, had it not written michva, michva twice, gichalim lav eshtinu, gichalim would not have been included in the aloha michvat esh. It says esh. So why aren't gichalim included? If you're telling me that coals are considered to be esh, then when you have the michvat esh, it should automatically be included. Why do I need a second word of michva, a ribuy, to include gichalim? That suggests that gichalim, by definition, are not ish. They have to be included, the coals. Amalei, so he says there's a difference. Gachelet shel eitz, lo yitzrich kra l'ribuye. Yitzrich kra l'ribuye is the gachelet shel matechet. It's the difference between a wooden coal and a metallic coal. We had such a differentiation in the Gemara and Shabbat also with regards to kibuy, extinguishing. But there's only real extinguishing when it comes to gachelet shel eitz, not shel gachelet shel matechet. So here you have a wooden coal. A wooden coal has the status of ish, of fire. A metal coal has the status of inclusion only when there's a ribuy. So it's not included under the category of ish. It's only when you have michva. Michva is included in the pasuk. It says, "V'gachalim shamatechet laveish niu." Is it really true that a metallic coal is not considered to be ish? V'agabe bat kohen. When it comes to a bat kohen who is mizana when she is an arusa, over there it says her punishment is b'chtib ba'esh tisareif, that should be burnt by the fire. She is punished with sreifa. V'amar Rav Matna, tila shelavar ayu osim la. They used to make for her a thread of molten lead. That was what they did the sreifa with. So here it says tisareif ba'esh. Her punishment is sreifa, is burning, ba'esh, with fire. And what do they use for fire? They use molten lead. They use a metal that's been heated up. So it shows you that metal has a classification of ish. It says, shani otam damakra, ba'ish tisareif. Because over there it says, ba'ish, she should be burnt. Tisareif, but a boat, kosreifot, a boat, min ish. That comes to include anything that burns and is a derivative of ish. B'chosh ken ish atzma. Certainly if you use fire itself, it would have been fine. But here, ish tisareif means that anything that fire generated the heat for, then you can utilize that as the sreifa, as the punishment for the bat kohen. So Gemara says, well, if esh is the primary way that you want to punish her, then why are we going for the secondary or the subpar using a molten lead? Let's use fire. V'nakif la chavilei zmurot. Let's burn her at the stake. V'nikla, and then she'll be consumed. It says, at your sreifa, sreifa m'bnei aron. We have Gzeir Shava from Nadav v'Avihu, bring in the Eish Zarah into the Mishkan, and then they are consumed by fire. So there, the Sreifa by them, we compare to the Sreifa of Bait Kohen, Malalan, Sreifat Neshama v'Guf Kayam, over there, they were consumed on the inside, but their bodies were still intact. Afgan, Sreifat Neshama v'Guf Kayam. So to over here, we're trying to do the Sreifa, the punishment of Sreifa, in a way that her body remains intact, but she is killed by the Sreifa. So Gemara says, okay, v'namid la chamei or. Okay, you're right. So we won't use that fire. We'll just boil her in the hot water. We'll put it into the hot cauldron, and we'll boil her. So mishom d'Rav Nachman. That's a problem, because Rav Nachman, d'Rav Nachman amar kra, the pasuk says, v'hafta l'reyacha kamocha, that you have to love your fellow Jew like yourself. That teaches you, bror lo mita yafa, that to pick a nice type of punishment. I mean that when you put someone to death and you sentence them to the death, you have to pick the nicest way to do it or the easiest way to do it so that the person doesn't suffer. Just like if you were going to be sentenced to death, the person themselves would pick something that was the lightest of the punishments. So too, when you have options with regards to what to do, sreifa, you got to pick the nicest or the easiest way to put her to death. Where it says, "Bichimachar deika Rav Nachman." Once you have the din of Rav Nachman, gezeirah shava lamali. What do you need the gezeirah shava for? Already you know that you're going to do it the nicest way possible. That means not burning her at the stake, not boiling her in the boiling hot water in the cauldron. None of those would qualify because aren't the nicest ways to put her to death. So then why do you need the gezeirah shava to teach you that the body has to remain intact? Gemara says, "Ilav gezeirah shava avamina sreifa neshama beguf kayam lav sreifa." Without the gezeirah shava, I would have thought the killing of the individual with their body intact is not called sreifa. Sreifa literally means to be burnt. Ah, what about Yimishum the Rav Nachman? What about the fact that Rav Nachman says, "I have to recha kamocha, you have to be borlo yimita yafa." So then, what are you going to do now? You have to burn the body. What type of mita yafa are you going to have? Nefesh lo chavilot zmorot tuva. Don't worry, we'll put a lot of wood on the stake so that the heat of the fire will be extreme and she'll be consumed quickly. So that'll be the after the recha kamocha, that you do it in a way that it happens quickly and not slowly. Remember, that's what we read in the Sera Harugei Malchut on Yom HaKippurim and Tisha B'Av by Rabbi Chanina ben Shradion, that when they burnt him at the stake for teaching Torah B'Rabim, where there it says that they put wet wool on his heart to slow down the death. So even though he's being burnt at the stake to slow it down, they put wet things on him to slow down the process. And then the executioner is there, says to him, "If I take away the wool so that you die faster, will it be the Olam Abba?" And he says to him, "Yes." So he accelerates the death of Rabbi Chanina ben Shradion by taking away the wool. So here you see this idea that if the fire is stronger, faster, hotter, that would kill faster, and therefore it would be the accomplishment of Barolo Mitayafa. You should do something that's better. If you have to do it this way, you should do it in the nicest way possible. So since you need fire to consume the body, so you have to do it in the nicest way possible for the person. Ki echei detamut ba'agalan. In order that she should die, ba'agala b'zman karib, but agala means speedily, fast, speedily in our time. So here, ba'agala kamash malon, that's not the case, that the gzeirah shava teaches us that guf kayam and the sreifa of the inside is enough. So since that's the case, now I have other options in putting the woman to death. Since I have other options, I'm going to pick the nicest option. The nicest option is pouring the molten lead. Nevertheless, we have here what we thought was a proof that matechet, metal, is esh. The answer is no, that it's included for the word tisareif. And then we dealt with why we opt for that over direct esh. So Gemara says, ve'ele ve'esh lamali. Well, if that's the case, that we're going to put her to death not using fire, then why mention fire at all? Just say tisareif, and that should be enough. Afuke avar mikaro comes to exclude molten lead that is mined from its location in the ground where it's hot. When it's taken out of the ground, it's hot, but that's not heated by fire. So be'esh tisareif means it has to be something that's a derivative of fire. So that means if you heat up the lead and it's molten lead now, that's okay for be'esh tisareif. But if you mine it from the ground and you take it out and it's hot, that's not be'esh tisareif, because it doesn't qualify. It wasn't heated by a fire. Therefore, it's only tisareif without the esh part of it. So Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah, the Rabbi Zeir, V'hochecha dechti be'esh tisareif, l'rabot kol sreifot haba'ot machmat eshu. Is that true? Whenever you have the be'esh tisareif, that means you include any type of burning as long as it's a derivative of fire. By the parim that have to be burnt, some of the parim and israfim include those parsha Yom HaKippurim that's taken out to the Beit HaDeshen that's burnt over there. If they're burning on the fire, on the wood with the fire. When you do it, it has to be on fire. Not on hot lime. Not on hot gypsum. You see that you have to literally have fire there. How can you compare the cases? Over there it says first ba'esh, then tisareif. The rabot kosreifot about machmad esh. So the tisareif is modifying the esh and saying, all right, you need fire, but you need fire that burns or consumes. So as long as what you're doing is tisareif and it's something that was contributed to by fire, that's fine. Hachaktiv, over here by the Parim Nisafim, it says, V'sarafu to'ala itzim ba'esh, the sof ba'esh. The word esh is used at the end. L'memra de'esh in midi achrin alo. That esh yes, midi achrin alo. It's somewhat like a klalu prat, which is that at first it says, tisarei burn it, and then esh that gives you the prat. How do you burn it? With fire. So there it's when you have tisarei first, and then esh afterwards. Or saraf, and then esh afterwards. The other way around, when you have esh, and then tisareif, then it's almost like a prat uchlau, which would include everything. That's why Tosafot says it's not really a prat uchlau, but rather the ba'esh tisareif is that the tisareif is being modified or modifying the esh. He says, since over here, Vishlamar, the klal, tisareif, kaya prat, komar, bamet tisareif, how do you do the sreifa? Ba'esh. Hilkach lomar binan mi mitisraf eladumya de'esh. That's why we only include things that are similar to fire, to kaya ilave. Ba'ay klal, atzarech leprat. It's a klal that needs the prat to tell you how to do the sreifa. Deinotonio to'o beklalu prat. So therefore you don't have the regular klal prat, which would include it everything. That's why we only include things that are similar to esh or derivatives of esh. But that'd be the difference between these cases. The case of whether the sreifa comes before the esh or afterwards. If the sreifa comes first, esh is telling you what type of sreifa you have to do, and that's it. That's the only way you can do it. Esh is the key aspect. If it's esh tisareif, then sreifa is the main aspect. Esh is just telling you or giving you some definition of how to do the sreifa. Doesn't mean esh literally, but it can be other items that are derivatives of esh. So Gemara says, the memra de esh in midah achrina lo. So from what you're saying now, by parim and isafim, you can only use fire, nothing else. Hatam namik tiva sreifa the basof. Over there also, it has sreifa at the end. Dichtiv says, al shefech adesh in isareif. So it has the word visaraf beforehand, then esh, and then isareif at the end. Zimrei, how isareif mi boile? That isareif we need for a different limud, which is the Tanya. Isareif, afu pishen sham deshen. Isareif, afu pishen tzitaor birubo. That you have to burn it, even though there's no deshen there. Because there it says, Ashefech HaDeshen. Where you burn the Parim Nisrafim is the same place that you dump the extra ashes that you take out from the Mizveah. When they clean the Mizveah and take the ashes off of it, they do Trumat HaDeshen, and then there's Hotzat HaDeshen. Hotzat HaDeshen is when you take the ashes on the Mizveah outside of the Machaneh, outside of the walls of Yerushalayim, and then you pour it down into the Shefech HaDeshen. The Parim Nisrafim are burnt on top of that Deshen, on top of that ashes. So what the Yisareif comes to teach you is that you burn it even though there's no Deshen there. What happens if there are no ashes there? Because then you can't do it because it's not a Shefech HaDeshen. No. It's in location you would put the Shefech HaDeshen, but it doesn't have to literally be ashes there. So that's what Yisareif teaches you. One, that Yisareif no matter what. Number two is Yisareif, even though the robe of it has caught fire, there's only a small amount of it or a minimal amount of it left that has to be burnt. Nevertheless, you have to make sure that that gets burnt. Yisareif. It has to be burnt entirely, not just the robe. It's going to be completely consumed by fire. So that Yisareif, we have a different limud for, so it's not available to teach us the Yisareif, that Eish, then Yisareif, comes to include all types of items. And that's why over there you can only use Eish and not other items. Now, Rino Amar, so now we go back to the original problem. The original problem is with regards to Rabbi. Rabbi, who said that if you put a Korban HaPesach on coals, that's considered to be Tzli Eish. So there, we asked the question on it from the Midrash Halacha by Michvah. It said, Michmach Michvah, Michvat Eish, to teach you that it's a ribuy to include all types of items. Those types of items include a gachela, it's a coal. So why is a coal included over here if coal is fire according to Rabbi? It should be included in the first place. You don't need a ribuy for it. So we answered before there was a difference between wooden coals and metallic coals. That's what led us through this whole Gemara until now, discussing about metallic coals, about fire, so on and so forth. So that was our first solution. Now we have a second solution by Ravina. It says, Kroch Vitani. There's a problem in the Braita, and this is the way it should read. Michvadesh comes to Michvadesh, something that's derivative of fire. In the Elash, Michvadesh, Uba Gachalet. What's included in the first place? Fire and coals. Michvad Beremetz, Besid Roteach, Vasim Roteach. You get burnt by ashes, embers, Sid Roteach, hot lime, or hot gypsum. Or anything that's a derivative of the flame. The two chamei orot include hot springs or hot water. Minayin, how do we know that's the case? Tamalar michvah, michvah, riba. So michvah is a riboy. It's what he did, or Ravina solved the problem by reparsing the braita. Instead of saying that the gachelet is included from the riboy, he says the gachelet is part of the original assumption of what's considered to be michvatesh. And then we need the other michvah to include other items. Ravina solves the problem by saying gachelim and esh are synonymous. And then the riboy from the puzzle is everything else, although the other hot items are heated by fire. So by doing that, he shows you that gechalim are esh, and that would support Rabbi's position that over here, if you roast the Korban HaPesach on the coals, that's considered to be tzli esh. So Rava Rami, mi amar Rabbi gechalim ikra esh. So now Rava introduces a new problem for Rabbi. Can you really say that coals are fire? Veramini. Rava says, wait, it's not so simple. Over here, it's minyana diyoma. Yeriyomran Yom HaKippurim, it says, with regards to bringing the Torah, Lifnei Lifnim, it says, V'akach Melo Machta Gachle Esh. He has to take a pan full of Gachle Esh, fired coals, or coals with fire. Now, the Gemara wants to know, what does that mean? Brancher says, Gachle, when it comes to coals, Yechol Omomot. I would think that those are hot coals, but they're simmering. They're not red hot coals. They're just coals. They're getting off heat. Tamal omer esh. You have to use something with fire. E esh. If you thought fire, yachol shel hevet. You would think you actually need a flame. Literally have a flame there. Tamal omer gachalei. It says coals. Ha ketzad. What do you do to solve it being gachalei esh? Mevim in aloha shot. You bring from the red hot ones. The hottest coals. The red hot coals. So where it says, Vagufa Kasha, before we get to the question, Rabbi, there's an internal contradiction or inconsistency in the Braita. Amar Gachale, when you first bring the word Gachale down or coals down, you say Yachol Amamot. The assumption is that those are Amamot, those are these simmering or hot coals, but not super red hot coals. So then, Alma Lo Chashot, that would be, or what you'd infer from that is that if they were red hot coals, Eishninu, they'd be considered to be fire. Ema Seifa, then the latter half of that Braita says, E Eish. If I just had the word Eish, Yachol Shalev, I would think you need a flame. Tamalomer Gachale teaches you coals. Alma filu lo chashot. So there the Gemara says, oh, the Gachale means lo chashot. Those are hot, red hot coals. So therefore, Alma va lo chashot, lav Eish minu. They're not called Eish, they're called Gechalim. So make up your mind. Is it Gachelet omamot? Is there a Gachelet lo chashot? Because the Braita switches. In the beginning it says, oh, Gachalim, our coals are called omamot. And then it's at the end, no, Gechalim are Luchashot. So which one is it? Is Luchashot Eish and Omamot are Gechalim? Or are Luchashot and Omamot Gechalim and Eish is a Shalhevet? Like, we have to solve that problem first. Once we solve that problem, then we'll bring the question on Rabbi. From Avshesh HaKiktani, this is how to read the Braita. Gachale Yachol Ben Omamot Ben Luchashot. The word Gachalet means both. It means both hot coals and red hot coals. Simmering coals and red coals. Talmud Omar Eish. So then the pasuk says Eish E Eish Yachol Shalevet. You would think you would use a flame. Talmud Omar Gachale. That's why you have Gachale. Haketzad. So I write balance between Eish and Gachalim. Mevim and Alochashot. Bring from the Alochashot because that qualifies both as Eish and as Gachalet, as opposed to Omamot, which only qualify as Gachalet, not as Eish. So they won't be included. So your word Gachalet, the word coal includes both items, Alochashot and Omamot. Once you have the word Eish, then it defines for me which type of coal I'm going to use. Is the lochashot, the hot, or the red hot ones? Mikol makom. Now the way that Rav Shesh is reading it, this is the question. Gechalim lo yikre esh. That omamot and lochashot are called coals. Eish is fire, is a flame. So what is Rabbi going to do with this? Kasha the Rabbi. That's a problem for Rabbi. Am Rabbi tari tzachi. This is the way to read the Braita. Gachale yochol omamot velochashot. I would think the word gachelet, coal, means the hot coals or the simmering coals, but not the red hot coals. Tamal omer eish. The pasuk says eish, e eish. If you thought eish yachol ratza shel hevet yavi, ratza gachelet yavi, I would think he has a choice now. Eish is either fire, or eish is lo chashot, these red hot coals. Take your pick. Which one do you want to bring? Tamal omer gachelet haketzat. So now what does it mean? Mivina lo chashot. So the definition of eish is both lo chashot and a flame. So then in the end, the pasuk tells you gachelet, that it still has to be associated with coals. So it says, bring the red hot coals that qualify as an eish. That would support Rabbi's position. So Amar Rabba, or the other group says Amar Rabba, Ratza Gachel Javi, Ratza Shel Hevet Javi. Your Hav Amino in the Braita is that he has a choice. He can either bring a coal, or he can bring a flame. So now, what that means is that a coal is separate from a flame, or that the flame is independent of the coal. He says, Shel Hevet Belo Gachel Dechemish Gachela. How do you have a flame without a coal? The flame needs some sort of fuel in order to make it, and that will be the coal. So how do you have a flame independent of a coal? Where it says, no problem, going to shafi l'mana mishka. He took a utensil, and he smeared it with oil, or schmaltz, v'adli beinura. Then he lit it a fire, and it caught fire. Meaning that you're using a fuel other than something that turns into a coal. You're using some sort of oil-based fuel that will burn itself out. It'll act as a fuel and burn itself out, but doesn't create a coal. So that's a shalhevet. That's a flame without a coal. And obviously a coal without a flame is the lochashot. So how lomad likra le'meute? That type of fire you have to exclude from a pasuk. Hash lifnei melech basar v'dam eino simkein. If you're bringing an incense to a human king, you don't do that. Because if there's a flame still jumping around on the coals when you bring in the incense, make a huge amount of smoke and be unacceptable. Lifnei melech malchem lochim ha'kodesh baruch hu lo'kosh kein. To take it in front of Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kal v'chomer, you wouldn't take in something like that. So why do I need a pasuk to exclude it? If you wouldn't do this, it's just not the proper type of conduct to do this. This is the way to read the Braita. The gamster coals, I would have thought these mean the coals that are hot, simmering, but not red hot. I would think you bring half a coal, half a flame, out of the aisle of Guvai, and until by the time it gets into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, at that point everything will be a coal. So basically you take a piece of wood, that is majority already has been burnt out, and is now a red hot coal, and there's the last piece of it that's still there that has a flame on it. So when you take it off the Mizbeach, it has both a flame and a coal, a lo chashot aspect to it. By the time he gets it all the way into Lifnai Lifnim, it'll burn itself out and it'll be only a coal. So I would have thought that's what you have to do. You have to start with a flame and a coal and end up with only a coal. Tamil Omar, Lakach no machta gachaleyesh, mi'ala mizbeach. Mishat lekicha, ni'ala gechalim. Has to be coals from the moment you take it off because of a lakach. Zibailu omamot or omamot. When it comes to omamot, is that spelled with an aleph? Is that spelled with an ayin? So Gemara in Shabbat. There, the Gemara also asks the same question: is omamot an aleph or an ayin? Over here, it says Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Arazim lo amamu abegan elukim, that the cedars were not blackened in the gan elukim, the garden of Hashem. So amamu over here is with an ayin, is blackened like a coal. So you see that it's spelled with an ayin and not with an aleph. So now we move on to the next Mishnah. Next Mishnah talks about in the cooking process when something goes wrong. Naga b'chereso shel tanur. He's roasting it in the oven. And the place of the carbon vessel touches the wall of the oven. You clove it mikomo. You have to scrape off, you have to slice away that area. Because that area was not sliesh. That area was cooked by the heat of the furnace, not the heat of the fire. Not of mirodvola cheres. If some of its sauce, its juices, fall onto the side of the oven, bechazari lav, and then it falls back. The juices touch the wall of the oven and then fall back. You told it mikomo. Then you have to take away that location. Now that location means not just kolef. Kolef means to slice off the outer edge, to peel. But over here, yudele makomo means even deeper. It penetrates because it's a hot liquid. It's going to penetrate into the korban pesach. So not only do you have to take away the upper layer, you have to go in to the point at which they would no longer been absorbed. Nataf mirodvo ala solet. If some of the juices or the sauce fall onto hot flour, yikmotze makomo. You have to take off that whole area. Sachob shemen truma. If you baste it with shemen of truma, im chaburat koanim yochlu. If it's a chaburah of koanim, no problem, because they can eat truma along with the korban pesach. Im shel Yisrael, if it belongs to a regular Yisrael, im chayhu, if it's still raw, yedichenu, then rinse it off because it's cold. And if it's cold, it doesn't absorb, and you can rinse it off. Im tzlihu, if it's roasted already, yiklof et achitzon, then you have to peel off the outer layer. And as Tosafot points out over here, when it's lihu, it means whether it's cold or hot. That's irrelevant. Once it's been roasted, it softens the meat, it makes it porous, so that if something comes on it, it's going to be absorbed inward. So over there, if the shemen and truma was basted on it, it'll be absorbed inward, and you're going to have to take off, not just the outer layer, but you're going to have to dig down and get it out. And then when it's raw still, it's not as absorbent, and therefore if it falls on it, you just have to rinse the outside, and you're fine. Sachu b'shemen shel ma'aser sheni. If you basted it with oils of Maiser Sheni, lo yasenu domim abnei chaburah, you can't charge the rest of the chaburah for the shemen that he contributed. Shein podim Maiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to redeem Maiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim. The other girsaot are shein mochrin Maiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim, you're not allowed to sell Maiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim. Rashi over here, in bringing the proof to this, says, ein mochrim Maiser Sheni b'Yerushalayim. See, Rashi thinks the girsa is mochrim, which is, v'afilu ochlo sham b'kdusha, even though the person's gonna buy it and eat it in Yerushalayim, t'chi yir b'mimcha derech t'natata kesef tiv. It says by the pasuk of redemption by Maaser Sheni, that you have to be far away from Yerushalayim. That's why you redeem the fruits and bring the money up. Here, you're in Yerushalayim, so you can't do it. Tosafot points out that Rashi's proof pasuk is about pidyon, about redeeming it, not about selling it. It says you're not permitted to sell Maaser Sheni, that's what's in our Mishnah. And he's bringing up posuk that says you're not allowed to redeem it in Yerushalayim because only when you're far away you're allowed to redeem it. So what does one have to do with the other? So Tosafot gives two answers. One is that they were gozer mechira atu pidyon. That pidyon, you're right, is asur. And then mechira, because it's like pidyon, they didn't allow you to do it in Yerushalayim. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is mechira is asur not because of the pasuk, but simply because of bizayon kodashim. To transact or to do business. But something that's Kodesh somehow profanes that item, is a denigration of the item or the Kedusha of the item. We don't allow you to do regular schorah or business with items that are Kodesh. We find that in other places when you have to sell something that's Pesuzlei HaMikdashim. You're not allowed to take it into the shuk and cut it up and put it up on the scales and sell it like it's a regular piece of meat. You have to treat it a little differently. So over here, when they were osir, the selling, it wasn't because there was something inherently wrong with Maaser Sheni, or there's an Isser from the Pasuk in Maaser Sheni, but rather because you just can't be transacting in Maaser Sheni. It's not appropriate for Kodashim or something that's Kodesh for you to be doing business with it, and therefore we don't allow you to do Mechira. Again, both cases, according to the Tosafot, the Isser of Mechira is only Midrabanan. It's either an Otu Pidayon, so you don't do redeeming, so we say don't sell it, or it's don't sell it because that's Bizayon Kodashim. But either way, it'll only be an Isser Dirabanan. Okay, we'll stop over here.